You know, I give God the glory that I'm standing behind here, because believe me, I don't ask for this. I'm not one who likes to come in front of people, but I'm humble that I can be here, and I give God all the honor and all the glory. And I was at a service, and they had said where you should always honor your bishop. And every time I come up here, I never do that. So I do want to honor Bishop Keys, even though he's no longer with us, but his fingerprints that he has left on my life are still with me. And I also honor Sister Keys as well in their ministry. I also honor Pastor and his family as well. We are blessed, and we love you guys, and we appreciate everything you guys do for the church. So without further ado, I'm going to be reading out of Psalms 34, 1 through 6. Psalms 34, 1 through 6. And it reads, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Pray with me. God, I come before you, O God, that I am just a conduit unto you, O God. This is your word, O God, and you are using my voice, O God, to deliver a word to your people, O God. So I pray, God, that it will minister, God, that it will touch, God, and all the honor and all the glory is unto you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. So the title of my message tonight is Release the Sound. Sound can be described as vibrations that travel through the air until it reaches a person's ear. And I believe that both God and the enemy are truly seeking something from every one of us. And it's the same thing. You'll be like, what are you talking about? Well, they're trying to seek our voice. We have the enemy, right? Well, he's trying to desperately tear down your voice. He's trying to stop the voice of the church, trying to keep us distracted with all the noise that's taking place. He wants to create this loud, confusing sound that will kind of stop us in our track, because the devil knows firsthand the power of your voice. He knows that it's a mighty weapon against his kingdom of darkness, and so he will do everything in his power to try to tear down your voice. He will try to muzzle it through condemnation, through indifference, through intimidation. But we serve a God who's waiting for a church to lift up their voice and to release a sound. And I believe that there's a church here tonight, people who are here ready to release a sound, that our voices will be heard in this dark, dim world, that our voices will be heard in this world that's so full of chaos. Saints of God, it's time for us to arise and to say, it's my hour, it's my time. My voice has been masked for too long, but I'm stepping out and I'm unmasking my voice. And I'm going to declare into the spirit world that the church will not be quieted. It will not be muzzled, but we are going to shout the goodness of God. We are going to declare the impossible. We are going to say, great are you, Lord. I'm talking about releasing a sound. In Matthew 21:22, it reads, and in all things whatsoever ye shall ask, in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, when I first read this, I always thought the most important part of this verse was believing, right? The having faith. But I was just dwelling upon it, and God put in my spirit, many of my people believe, but many of my people are missing the vital component, and that's voicing it out, physically asking, raising their voice unto me. You see, believing and having faith, it's still a massive part of the formula, right? But when you add your voice to it, when you ask it out, that's when things begin to change. That's when things become into fruition, because you're saying, you know what, Lord? I can't do it, but I know a God who can. In James 4, 2 through 3, it says, ye have not because ye ask not, and ye ask not, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. You see, a lot of times we don't vocally ask it out, right? But instead we kind of pray amiss. And you might be wondering, well, what that is. Well, it's kind of when it's a thought in your mind that you kind of just dwell on it. You know, you're like, oh, I have this need. And God, I know you know that I have this need. And it's here in my mind. So I'm thinking about it. So, you know, I'm kind of praying about it. But I'm not vocally asking it out. And, you know, I've done that. Not going to lie. I'm guilty of doing that. But God gave us a voice for a reason, right? He gave us a mouth for a reason. You see, when a child is born, the mother awaits to hear the cry of that baby. That cry signals that, hey, this baby has breath. it's going to survive, that this baby has a need, whatever it is. So God, who is our Heavenly Father, is awaiting to hear the voices of His children. He wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to go to Him in prayer. He wants us to call upon Him. And I truly believe that God's trying to get our attention, because too many of our voices have become too silent in prayer. And it's time for the church to arise and to awake out of slumber, because if you want to get anything done, if you want to get any physical response from God, you got to vocally utter it out of your mouth, to have your voice lifted up unto the heavenlies, to submit your tongue to what the Spirit of God is wanting you to say. Because we do have the authority. In Matthew 16:19, it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." All God wants you to do is speak it out. Just uplift your voice. God's saying, "My child, I want to hear your voice. I want you to call on me. Yes, I can read your thoughts. Yes, I know what your need is, but I just want that unruly member of your body to be submitted to the Holy Ghost and want to utter out through the moanings and the groanings that come with it." God wants to hear your voice into God. You need to communicate what your inward spirit is trying to communicate. And as I was studying for this, I realized that God isn't attracted to our needs, right? Like, it does draw His attention, but God doesn't move simply because there's a need, or simply, He doesn't work like that. He works when that need is attached to a voice. And you exercise your voice, heaven's going to respond. You'll be like, "Well, Sister Victoria, like, how do you know that?" Well, God's word tells me on multiple accounts. There's like example after example. And the first one I'm going to read is in Mark 10:46-49. "And there came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat down by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still." That's so powerful to me. So I'm going to kind of paint you a little picture here. We have Jesus in this scripture setting. He's on the way to Calvary, basically. So he's walking through Jericho. And you, in my imagination, there's his disciples following him. There's a whole crowd of people. So you must kind of just picture, it must be really loud, right? All these people are probably shouting, yelling, whatever, just loud. And then we have blind Bartimaeus just here on the wayside. He has a need. He's blind. No human can help him. Nobody can fulfill the need that he has. And then we have Jesus passing by. So Jesus passes by him, but we see blind Bartimaeus is still blind. Nothing happened. But when blind Bartimaeus recognized who just passed him by, he cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stood still. Out of all the noise that was going on, his voice was in tune to the need of someone who cried out to him. And he stood still and just stopped him dead in his tracks. And he turned around and he said, "Thy faith has made you whole." That's so powerful to me, because the God who knows all, all-knowing, the one who can do anything and everything, makes himself available to his people when they call upon him. He says, "If you want to, you can stop me in my tracks." Now, that doesn't mean that you can make God obey you, because that's not how it works. But what it does mean is that God's presenting himself to you. He's presenting himself to me, that if you're determined enough, that if you're desperate enough, if you would just release the sound of your voice, I'll stop what I'm doing, I'll hear your need, and I'll respond. That's the God that we serve. That's why there are times when you do gotta get desperate. There are times where you do have to get radical. There are times where you are going to have to step out of this flesh and do things that you normally would not do, because it's the sound of faith that, "God, I got to have it, oh God. That, Lord, I need this breakthrough, oh God. That, God, I need this healing, oh God. And there's nobody on this planet who can do what you can do. So I'm releasing a sound unto you."
God's real, but nothing happens unless you release a sound. Ask, believe, and you shall receive. Your needs need to get vocal. Your needs sometimes needs to get loud. It needs to go beyond where you are at right now. You may be asking, well, how do I really do that? It's through supplication. Supplication is when you voice out the need with the emotion behind it. And in the story of Esther, we are all familiar with it. But God gave me a revelation that I want to share with you, and it's in Esther 4:8. It reads, also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go unto the king to make what? Supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. We have the Jews here. Esther, they're gonna kill us. There's a decree out. There's nothing we can do. We don't have a voice. We don't have access to the one. But you, Esther, you have what we need. You have access to the one who can fix it. You can go to the king. If you just make supplication, then the king with one command could stop that decree and could release a word. So I've come to remind you tonight, you have direct access to the king. You have Jesus on the main line that you can call him up for when you have a need. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. God hears your supplications. He hears the prayers of his people. And if we have, and if we as apostolic Pentecostals do not release a sound unto him, then who will? If we don't lift up our voice in prayer, then who will? If we don't pray for those lost souls, then who will? I don't know about you, but I have a lot of family who's not living for God right now. I have a lot of friends that I truly love that aren't living for God right now. And if no one's going to cry out for them, I will. Lord, I'm releasing a sound that, God, they're going to be in church serving you, oh God. That I'm going to see my dad completely submitted to you. Because you're the only one, oh God, that I can take this need unto. I'm talking about releasing a sound unto God. God loves it when we begin to call upon him. He loves it when we bring our needs before him. Now, we don't need to come to God begging. That's not what we do, but we just come to him with this need and place it in his hands. He's the only one. When you tell God, Lord, I have this need, I'm placing it in your hands. You're essentially telling God, Lord, there's no human who can do what I need you to do. There's no one who can do what I need you to do. So I'm not going to take it to my family. I'm not going to take it to my friends. No, I'm taking it to the one who I know will answer. I'm taking it to the one who I know will be in tune with my voice as soon as I cry out unto him. God, I have this need, so I am lifting it up to you. I'm placing it in your hands, oh God, because only you can do what you can do. And I'm going to reverence you for that, oh God. And I'm going to worship you, oh Lord God, for that is who you are. I think I include this verse in all of my things, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And you might be like, well, what am I chosen for? Know ye not that ye are part of the body of Christ, and ye are chosen for such a time as this? Tell your neighbor, I'm chosen for now.
Yes, hallelujah.
I don't know why, but we were chosen to go through a pandemic. Hallelujah. We were chosen to go through a dark hour, hallelujah, to go through a situation. You see, God already had a way out of it. We may not have seen it right then and there, but God's like, don't worry about it. I have made a way of escape for you. I've already given you a way out. And so because of that, I know that everything's going to be okay, that he will open doors that no man can open, and he will shut doors that are not meant to be opened. So no matter what I'm at, no matter what I'm going through, I will bless the Lord at all times. That on the mountain high, I'm going to praise him. In the valley low, I'm still going to lift up my voice and bless his name. to shush my praise or to take away the greatest weapon that we have, and that is with our voice. Our voices unleashes the praise. Our voice unleashes the power. Our voice unleashes the worship and the supplication. Saints of God, it's time for you to get your voice back. For this is a generation that cannot be quiet. You children, you youth, your voice has power in it to have the faith of a child, to go before the king and to know, while I have this imagination, I have this faith, God will do a work. This is the generation that must take the opportunity. This is a generation that must say that Jesus Christ is still greater, yes, that he is still stronger, yes, that he is still wiser than anyone or anything. Yes. This is the generation that's going to shine brighter, yes, than the past. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. I still thank God for my apostolic heritage, and I thank God for the forefathers and the elders of the church. But they've had their time. Now it's our time. It's my time. It's my hour. It's up to me now. So heaven, hear my voice, because I'm releasing a sound unto you. RT, it's time for you to let the enemy know that I'm releasing a sound, that I'm sounding an alarm, that I'm blowing the trumpet of Zion. Because as soon as I lift my voice, God is hearing, and he's going to respond. And no devil in hell can stop what God has started. He has the final say. He has all authority. And I know it's going to come to pass. It's coming to pass, church. But there needs to be a releasing of the sound of the saints of God. There's something powerful and supernatural about the uplifted voice and the spoken word and prayer that releases an authority into the atmosphere. Because when you begin to lift up your voice and shout, that's when the walls start coming down. When you begin to raise a sound, that's when the miracles start breaking out. I'm talking about raising a sound. You have the authority. It's in you. God has positioned you, and he has placed it on us. Remember Ezekiel when he was in the valley of dry bones, and God told him to open your mouth and prophesy to the wind, specifically to the four winds. And so I kind of was like, well, why the four winds? Like, why did he have to go the east, west, north, and south? And God put him, he kind of quickened me, and he was like, it's not your job to know how I'm going to come through, but it's your job to voice it out until something does transpire. It's about declaring that God is going to do something, that he is definitely going to come through, that God is going to provide, declaring that God is going to heal, that God, you know what, whether you do it or not, it's up to you, but I'm asking, I'm believing, and I'm going to receive, because there are only things that you can do, so I'm going to release a sound unto you. In Genesis 21:14-17, it reads, and Abraham rose up in the early morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as if it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. Where is he? In this scripture setting, we see the need. There's one need. They're in the desert, Hagar, and the lad here would be Ishmael, according to scripture. And they're running out of water. They still have a ways to go. And we have two people. We have Hagar, who's kind of pouting, who's already giving up. She's saying, we're finished. We're done, God. I don't want to see the death of this child. Don't let me see it. There's nothing more that we can do. We're going to die. And then we have the lad, Ishmael. Now, it doesn't say what he was saying, but God showed me that he was praising. He was worshiping, saying that, God, you can do it. You can come through. Heaven hears both voices, right? It says, Hagar, what aileth thee? What's wrong? Why are you sounding the way you sound? We hear the voice of the lad. That was just like so powerful to me.
Glorious.
because what it's saying or what it spoke to me is, I'm not gonna pout, I'm not gonna worry, I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, there's no end to this situation. I don't see an end. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, because this scripture says that if I were just to praise God, if I were just to worship God, if I was just to uplift my voice, yes, he will hear. Yes.
Hallelujah.
And because of that, they were saved, and Ishmael was made to be this great individual. Are there any Ishmaels, are there any individuals here in this room that will say, I still believe that God has a plan, and I'm going to release the sound with my voice, yes, until something begins to happen? Because heaven, I know you're going to respond to my voice. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Because I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. This small, poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. God hears the sounds of your voice, and he will act upon it. In Acts 1:14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were releasing the sound. Before the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room releasing a sound until something broke. See, the sound filled the room before God clothed them with the Holy Ghost. There needs to be a sound. But can I let somebody know that it doesn't take a sound system? It doesn't take a microphone. It doesn't require you to be standing behind this pulpit. It doesn't require a minister's license. It doesn't require the title of prayer leader. All God is looking for is a hungry heart, a hungry vessel, somebody who will take the opportunity to let their voice be heard and to unleash it unto the heavenlies and say, God, I'm calling on you. I'm not moving until you do something for this need, because I know you will hear and I know you are going to respond. And I'm coming to a close, if the musicians would come. Like I said, it just takes an opportunity to let your voice be heard. If you look at Paul and Silas, they were in the prison cell. They had a need, right? They were in jail. They were locked up, and I'm sure they were battered, bruised, bloody. I'm sure they were starving, they were thirsty. And yet, despite what they were going through, their present trial, they began to lift up their voice and release the sound. In Acts 16:25 through 26, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Your voice doesn't just be constrained to one location. Your voice could be heard by multiples. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. When they lifted up their voice, because they had that revelation that I will bless the Lord at all times, the prison doors just didn't open for them. It opened for everybody. Everyone's bands were loosed. Something will begin to transpire when you lift up your voice. Needs, God will start responding to needs, not just for what you're praying for, but needs that you don't even know that are going to reach other individuals. There's something powerful about the sound of your voice when you unleash it. When you get your tongue to be submitted to what the Holy Ghost says, no devil in hell can stop you. But God will open up the windows of heaven. He will pour out, and he will come and minister.